We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Your chance to win $1,000 in the national signing bonus coming up in about 12 or 13 minutes from now. Morning show with John and Hugh on this Thursday as you head into work on a chilly Thursday, reminding you it is still winter, and we know that. You know, from past experience around here, when it comes to Super Bowls, we've had the two here in town, and one of them turned into the Ice Bowl. And if you were here in town at the time,
two?
You were...
Wait a minute, did I miss one?
Yeah, there have been two here.
There have been two? What was the
Dallas
first one?
And Buffalo.
Dallas and Buffalo.
When was that?
94?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was still in school. Okay, gotcha. No, I forgot about that one because I was here for the second one.
Yeah, and I was...
The ice storm.
And I was here for the first one because that was the one where... Jerry Jones, at the end of the game, had his podium moved in front of Jimmy Johnson's. It was like, really, dude? That's Jerry. So you weren't here during the ice storm. You were at the game. I didn't go down to the game that day. I was just out of
I didn't
of
make
home.
It to John. The weather was so bad,
yeah,
I never made it to the game. Never
oh, really?
Made it. Yeah. Never made it.
Yeah, I didn't even try.
Because it was like you know how they say ice storm? No, it was an ice storm for real. I remember, because I lived in Fayetteville at the time, and I remember – like, I was throwing a party at my home, and the power went out. Like, and I had all these people at my home, and it was candlelit. And, you know, we're eating pizza, like the pizza place delivered. So we had pizza, and we had adult beverages. And that's what I remember about that. And that's the time where I woke up, and it was like all these different random folks in my house. And we were just, like, hanging out. But it was an awesome time. It was an awesome time. I remember that. The ice storm was ridiculous.
And the game was great because everybody remembers the game because, you know, you're 1 foot short. You know, the heartbreak of the Tennessee Titans, 1 foot short.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, leaning, you know, how close can you get to winning a Super Bowl, Tennessee Titans? What was that? You screamed something in my ear, Arthur. Huh? Now I can't hear you at all. All right, first you screamed. Now I can't hear you.
No, it was a
– Okay, I still can't hear you. All right, anyway.
For the third time.
Yeah.
I said Mike Jones.
Oh, Mike Jones. Yes, Mike Jones. Yes, reaching for the end zone.
Who?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, well,
you didn't
well
catch
see,
the
well, no, but you know what? I mean, think about
who
it.
Who is Mike Jones?
But if he breaks the plane, you're not saying who. You're saying Mike Jones. You know, like Keith Smart, you have a moment. You have a moment, you know. That's all you need is a moment. And make or break you. So we don't know yet, but. Because we're not weather people, even though we tried to pretend.
You're the closest to the weather person that we have on the show, John, because you live for the weather. Because what we're like, what, 18 days? No, what, 14 days out? No, 18, 17 days out from the Super Bowl, correct? You know math is hard. It's on the show sheet, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's on the show sheet. Yeah. Hey, AT, okay, I needed to look at the show sheet that time. I'll take that one. That's the one time that I didn't look at the show sheet.
And see. What's funny is you told John that yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I know. 17 days from the Super Bowl, 53 in Atlanta. It says it's right here on the show sheet in bold letters. I looked at, okay, this. Looking at the show sheet, looking at the show sheet, looking at the show sheet. 17 days. But I did it. Hey, you got to give me credit because my guess.
I'm not giving
good.
You nothing.
Yeah, but I was reading somewhere and people were talking about it could potentially be snow, which is kind of scary because it's almost like you think about the last Super Bowl that we had here and the reason why we haven't had one since. And to think that it could potentially snow and be bad, boy. That's going to be a tough one. That would be tough.
That would be tough. And we can only, of course, 17 days out, you have no idea what the weather's going to be like. But, you know, I mean, heck, the weather forecasters have trouble sometimes around here. If you're new to Atlanta, you'll find out the weather forecasters. And it's not their fault. It's just the way the land. This is not like, you know, Wichita, where you're out on the plains and you see everything coming at you and you could time it, go, well, the storm's going to hit in about an hour and a half. That doesn't usually, I mean, a lot of times here, the mountains affect the weather and we get Gulf moisture and cold from the north and the this and the that. So Atlanta weather is kind of difficult sometimes to forecast. So not the easiest weather in America to forecast because, you know, sometimes they think we'll get 2 inches of snow, we get 20. Sometimes they think we'll get 5 inches of snow, we get none. And that's just because of the way the storms hit the mountains and either split or whatnot. But so we'll keep our eyes on the weather. But that may not be the bigger issue. Unless Congress and the president get together on this shutdown issue and the border, and we have this issue with TSA, Hugh, we already are hearing horror stories. Now, Wendy, you're leaving, tomorrow, tonight?
I leave tonight.
You leave tonight. We're hearing everywhere, what you heard, 15 minutes to 3 hours? I mean...
I think it just depends on what time of day you're going. If you're going early in the morning, I've seen lines all the way to baggage claim, but it's also been that in the evening time some days. And then I had a friend at the airport yesterday get through in 15 minutes. So I think it just depends on when your flight is.
This is why I drive to where I'm going. That's the main reason why, because like with all this going on and people working and not getting paid, I mean, you're basically at their mercy. So no, I'm not about to deal with that. I'm not going nowhere where I can't drive. As a matter of fact, I've already made plans to go. Hopefully, it's not going to last that long. But I already made plans to go to Mardi Gras. But guess how I'm getting there? Me and Rashida, we 100 miles and running. I'm not flying. I'm driving for that reason alone right there, because that's ridiculous. To get to the airport is 3 hours before your flight leave,
right,
or potentially
mm-hmm.
have to get there.
Right.
And then to get to the TSA or whatever, and then you had to wait 15 minutes. So then you got to eat, what, 2 hours and 45 of them things? No, I'm good. No.
Yeah, where I live, I was talking to the baby that said, you know, if we have to fly out of town from where I live, given what's going on down at Hartsfield, I said, let's just go to Chattanooga. I mean, just drive up to Chattanooga, hop on a plane at Lovell Field in Chattanooga, because if you've ever been, nice little airport, wonderful airport. They've got jets that fly out of Chattanooga. I mean, it's just a small airport, but there's no wait. You know, it's one concourse with about six gates or eight gates, and you just go up the escalator and you're out. You know, it's like, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate that, you know, you have one of the biggest airports, the biggest airport
in the world.
In the United States, yeah, in the world. And to have these issues, yeah, I'm not about to deal with that.
Well, and by the way, I had a friend of mine who's a Delta guy saying, you know, they're building the seventh runway. Okay, mm-hmm. And that means.
Where?
At Hartsfield?
No, but where?
Well, they've still got some land over there, apparently. They're building a seventh runway. And so with the seventh runway is going to come, this is what he told me, is they're going to redo the T-terminal, which, by the way, needs to be redone because that T-terminal looks like it's 1975 compared to the other terminals. They're going to redo the T-terminal, which is good. And then here comes terminals F and G. It started way back in the day when it first opened. There was terminals A, B, C, and D. Okay, there were four. Then they added T, then they added E, then they added the international. So what, there's seven now. Now we're going to have nine? Oh, my God.
That's bananas. That's why they put that big old awning up there. That awning is dope, though. I mean, when you think about
it's beautiful.
For how, because those are some huge pieces that come in on trucks that are put together somewhere else and then driven in here, like, late at early in the morning.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. Like, when you think about that.
It's
like,
not impressive when you're trying to drop someone off or get picked
well,
up.
Well, it's not impressive then. But just think about that. Like, the long-haul trucker that is driving that big old piece of whatever it is down the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And how you have, yeah, and how you have to not only have the escort, John.
Right.
But you have to strategically time when you go through certain areas of the country
mm-hmm.
in order to get the least amount of traffic to get to where you need to be. That's pretty impressive when you think about that. Or if you had to put it on a train. You had to put it on a train.
Right.
All the equipment that you have to get it off that train, to get it onto the truck, to get it where it needs. That's like, yeah. In my next life, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a long-haul trucker, man.
Do it now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you got time right now.
Go get your CDL. Go up to Chattahoochee.
No, but I'm talking about, do you know how long it takes to learn how to drive, like, and like, whip? No, I'm talking about whip it, like, for real, like they do.
Oh, you get it. Well, you've been in Rashida long enough, man. You pick that up like that.
That's a different kind of driving.
Man, you be slamming that clutch in. And
truckers out there doing that.
And doing it. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting to see, and I'm sure that, you know, the mayor and the governor and the state and the city are going to have a plan together here in regards to, you know, what do you do if the shutdown comes? Because the one thing that I would – look, ask yourself a question. Let's say this shutdown continues up until Thursday, 2 weeks from today. Thursday is Super Bowl week.
Ooh.
Okay? All right? If you're TSA and you want to make a point – Do you strike on Thursday, Friday?
Wait a minute, look at AT's face, though. He just got sick to the stomach when you said that.
No, that's not the day you should be worried about. The day you should be worried about is the day after.
After
the Super Bowl.
Right, but I mean,
get out of here.
I know, right, but even then, I mean, right, day after, correct. But I mean, is that the opportunity you take to make your stand here? Can you imagine the nightmare at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport?
I don't have to travel, so I'm not even concerned about that. I mean, I'm not trying to.
You're rude.
I know that sounded rude. Yeah, it was rude of me to say. But that's not an MP. That's a YP. Like, seriously. Listen. I understand with the shutdown of the government that potentially happened, that's bad for everybody. But that's one of the main reasons why I don't jump on the plane readily. Unless I'm going to California and I have to get there quickly, I'm not jumping on the plane. Like going back home to Ohio, I'm driving. Going to anywhere down south, I'm driving. If it's anywhere in a 24-hour radius, I'll drive that. I will drive that. I've driven from Philadelphia to Texas. I've done that and stayed here and stayed for a couple days here and then drove the rest of the way. I'm not trying to jump on the plane, man. I'm not doing that. That because it's just too much hassle. It really is. And then you got a chance of losing your luggage.
Yes, Chris Belcher, one of our tweeters, says, you know, when are they going to get a second commercial airport like all other major cities? This is what I've never understood, Chris, about Chattanooga. Why doesn't Chattanooga bill itself as the Northern Atlanta Airport? And I've never understood this because the city's not going to build a second airport. I can't even begin to imagine the amount of money that this city makes off that airport. Because you have to remember, they lease all the land in there. So, like, all of those restaurants, they control all the land. They're the landlord. Not to mention the gate fees and the ticket fees. What do you pay, $9 or something? How much do you pay for out of your ticket that goes to an arrival or departure fee to the city whenever? I don't even know what it is, so pardon me for not knowing. But everybody that goes through there that's getting on an airplane, the coming or going, is paying a fee. You're paying a fee to the city. It's just enormous the amount of money that airport brings into this town. Enormous. I don't. They're not about to kill that golden goose. They're not going to do that.
No, I mean, God bless anybody who's flying in or trying to fly out. For all those folks that are talking about leaving the city, if the Saints make it, God bless you. God bless you wherever you go. Yeah, it's going to be a rough one.
Yeah, Senator Johnny Isaacson said this. We got a Super Bowl coming to Atlanta in about 3 weeks, the biggest tourism event in the world this year. What if the largest airport in the world that's going to bring people to the largest football game in the world goes out of business because of TSA strikes? Man, I don't know, Senator. I don't know. I do know this. Right now is a good time for you to get $1,000. Oh, I got to hold on a second. Oh.
Yeah, you was premature with that one.
Premature signing bonus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got something for that. See, John, that see, it is, I wasn't even thinking that.
No, I wasn't.
You need to grow up, John Freaky.
Oh, yeah, that's me. Here's your chance at $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word.
Are you kidding
the code
me?
Word is... are you kidding me? Are you serious that this is the code word for this hour? Blizzard.
Right on time.
Oh, right on time. BLIZZARD. Are you kidding me? The only thing worse would have been strike.
Please, Lord, do not let that happen on that Sunday. I have to get to the
dome. Oh, my God. Blizzard. BLIZZARD. Something you
I'm
can
already looking
Dairy
at plan
Queen
Bs.
And, yeah.
I'm serious. I am starting to look at plan Bs because it would be bad if the weather hit and we can't get to the city.
That'd be bad. Blizzard, BLIZZARD, Blizzard to 72881. Text Blizzard to 72881. Hopefully you win $1,000 between now and the top of the hour. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Complete rules, 99thegame.com/rules. Blizzard, BLIZZARD to 72881. I can't believe that's the word of the hour. That's unbelievable. We're talking about the Super Bowl coming into town on your home of Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and about all of the attendant things, you know, because there's another thing to keep in mind. We talk about traffic, but you know, somebody said that, you know, Hugh, the title game last year between Georgia and Alabama and how bad the traffic was. And I said, well, now stop and think. That's all the Georgia fans and the Alabama fans that live here, you know, that are coming down because, that game was a local game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be bringing teams from the outside. So I'm not sure that the traffic is going to be that insane in that regard.
Are you kidding me? Of course it is. Like, I think it, like, I know you, this is like your worst nightmare. But that whole Saints people coming here?
Oh, no.
They're
I'm
already
sorry.
Here.
That I guess was the point I was going to make is 85 from, you know, here to, you know, the Alabama line or something down to Columbus.
Probably going
to
be hooked. Oh, off the hook. Yeah.
Yeah, that stretch of that stretch.
You're going to have people.
From here to the Gup is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, and you're still going to have people, say, if the Patriots make it. They're gonna come in out here rental cars. I would even venture to say if Kansas City Chiefs fans made it, they're gonna drive. That's cheaper. I mean, but think
how long a drive is that to Kansas City? About 13 hours or something like that.
Oh, it depends on who you got to drive.
Yeah, okay,
about
fair.
About
that's
10.
Fair enough.
About 10.
You can make Kansas City a 10.
I didn't say me. I didn't say nothing about me.
Man,
I'm just saying I've been with people who you know you leave at
KC.
That right time. You can get it.
12 hours, 17 minutes. All right. Right, where do you go up through Nashville, and then you cut across to Marion, Illinois, and then go through St. Louis? Is that what you do, and then straight across?
Yeah, through Nashville, I-70 right. East to I-25.
I haven't done that one in a long time.
That
I've done that before.
St. Louis through Columbia to Kansas City.
It's not an eventful drive. It's not great. It's not a great drive.
Yeah, that's kind of a... No, L.A. to here, depending on the right. I think the most fascinating drive in the world is L.A. to Denver. It is incredible. You go up and down through Death Valley, through Arches National Park. It's, you know, up to the Rockies. It's the most incredible drive in America, L.A. to Denver. I made that drive a few times, just a few. As we count down to the Super Bowl, and what's the sheet say? 17.
17. Look at that show sheet, John.
What Tom Brady says about being the dog in this game and all that.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A Super Bowl is a spectacle like no other.
No one else has the NFL or Super Bowl 53 coverage like us, because we're your home for the NFL in Atlanta. Super Bowl 53 plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Championship weekend in the National Football League. Sunday's doubleheader live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home of Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. The Los Angeles Rams against the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs.
What was that again, John Frickin?
The Los Angeles Rams. The New England Patriots.
Somebody had that talk yesterday, I see.
You're well, safe. He left.
He said I have to say the name of the team, right?
No, I'm just saying. Sorry. Somebody had that talk yesterday. Hey, John.
I'm saying the name of the team.
No, but you guys, I can't hear you, dog. You got to say it a little louder. What? I couldn't hear you.
Hey.
Oh, that is rich. That is so rich.
Stick my finger down my throat.
I can't hear you, John. That's not what they say. That's
hey,
not,
did we talk about the Patriots yet?
Go for it. I'm sorry.
The hoodie talking about trying to stop the hottie, or the hot hand, actually. I should.
Yeah, that goes back to that. What's that? The lemon
meow.
Drip.
Yeah.
The lemon drip.
The lemon peel.
The lemon drip.
Belichick, just talk.
Yeah, again, we're going to have to stop the whole offense. It's not one guy. The quarterback's good. The backs are good. Tight ends are good. Receivers are good. Line's good. Coach is good. I mean, they're all good. So we're going to have to play good team defense, and that includes everything. So they're all important.
You know, it sounds like, you know, he's just woke up, doesn't he, you know?
I mean, he's even killed. I mean, only time – you see him when he gets excited every now and then, but yeah, he's like that all the time.
You know, the funny thing about Kansas City, if you think about it for a second, because if you start thinking about the important people in this game, the important players in these two games, you know, Damian Williams becomes an important player. And I looked it up, and I didn't realize. I said, you know, Kansas City's doing this without Kareem Hunt. Now, there's no question that Kareem Hunt has had a phenomenal impact on Kansas City. But you know how many 100-yard rushing games that Kareem Hunt had this season when he was playing? Does anybody know? You ready for this? One.
I was about to say two.
One.
But he's still a factor, though.
Oh, no, I mean, he still is.
Yeah, you know, factor in the passing game.
But
you know what?
Williams had more yards rushing last week.
Mm-hmm.
That was the season-high total for any individual player in Kansas City.
Yeah, but that's the thing, John. Got to be able to run the ball. You know, it's funny. Looking at the offenses that are in here during the regular season, the high-powered offenses, the ones that put up the most yards passing and everything, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. still comes down to running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Still comes down to running the ball because it's that yeah, it's the ultimate equalizer.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we know.
Ultimate equalizer is running the ball.
You know, and then the other thing is we put this up, and we're going to get into some of the other kind of side stories here in a moment, because I know that Wendy posted this on our Twitter at 929 The Game. How would you rank the four conference championship coaches from best to least best, or from best to worst? I mean, not really worst. I see why you said least best. How would you rank them? Is it really is that a simple ranking, Hugh, if you're ranking them one through four?
I think so. And I'm looking at it from my perspective. I look at it from resume. Bill Belichick is number one.
Of course.
Sean Payton, two.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid, and then Sean McVay.
I've seen this because, and the reason we put this up and we're asking you is a lot of the websites are doing stories like this because, you know, it's the time we do stuff like this. I have seen these rankings on two different websites, one that went just in the order you said, and another, actually three, another that put Andy Reid second ahead of Sean Payton, and another that had Big Red last behind Sean McVay. But I think the given is that Belichick is the guru and the other three. Because, you know, Peyton's got a ring. I guess Andy's got a ring because he was an assistant coach in Green Bay.
He does.
You know, I mean, he does
I
have
mean,
a ring.
But I'm talking about as a head coach. Like,
not to
for
bring
me,
back a bad memory. You know,
oh, no, it's not. It is what it is, John. But for me, it's about the ring. About like it is for everybody else. It's about the ring and who has the ring. Sean Payton has one. Sean mm-hmm. Payton has a Super Bowl ring. Andy Reid's been in the Super Bowl. Sean McVay is the only one that has not had that luxury of being in a Super Bowl yet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what the outcome's going to be if he makes it to this one, but that's how I ranked it. You talk about the hot hand in the NFL. If you say who has the hot hand in the NFL right now, I would say Sean McVay would be number one because of what he's been able to do in a short period of time and where he has his football team. And then you probably, you know, you could put it wherever you want to accordingly. You could put, I would say, Coach Belichick, number two, just for the sake of argument, because of how he's consistently been the talk of the AFC. And then Coach Reid and Sean Payton, however you want to do that. But if you're talking about Super Bowl appearances and longevity in the league, then I think the way that we said it the first time, Belichick, Payton, Andy Reid, and then Sean McVay, I think that's the order it should be in.
Speaking of the Patriots here, earlier in the program, if you missed it, if you're just joining us, there's a new T-shirt out that Julian Edelman has on his website, and it says, Bet Against Us. And what he's saying is the Patriots are underdogs in this game against Kansas City. Now, they're like three-point underdogs, which is home field advantage and whatnot. But still, the Patriots are trying to play up this whole disrespect thing, as if you're disrespecting a team that's 13-4 and is going to they're trying to go to its third straight Super Bowl, its ninth overall, and win. It's sixth to tie the Pittsburgh Steelers. But here's what Brady talked about when he said about being under – they're trying to be underdogs. This is what he said.
Doesn't change much for us, but it just, you know, shows you kind of what, you know, people would think about, you know, what our chances are. That's about it.
Doesn't
no more added comment to that.
Extra motivation at all?
I mean, if you're not motivated this week, you got a major problem. I mean, this is the week where, you know, you shouldn't have to put any extra in. This is what it's all about. You sign up any chance you get to play an AFC championship game. So I don't care where, when, time, cold, weather, rain, blood, don't matter.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm kind of thinking about when this whole underdog thing with the Patriots. I mean, like they're loyal of Chicago looking for a nun to root for them. I mean, some teams, you know, they grasp to that, Hugh. I mean, it's their mantra, right? I mean, we're the dogs. Nobody believes in us, and it's the rah-rah moment. I just have a hard time thinking the Patriots are going to be doing that kind of rah-rah moment that nobody believes in us. I think they still walk around going, we're the Patriots.
No, I haven't been in it to the level that they are. Can't sit here and say that, but I understand that mantra, because as a player and as a competitor, you always find some kind of motivation to get you over that hump. Especially when, think about it like this, John. Whether they want to admit it or not, they've had all the accolades for years. They've been the front runner for years.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that they are probably underdogs. I don't know, AT, if I'm mistaken, they weren't underdogs last week against the Chargers, but
no,
it was tight. It was like the line wasn't that great. I don't think it was that great because of what the Chargers did coming to the East Coast the whole season. And I think that was a little bit of it, because there was a lot of talk about how well the L.A. Chargers traveled to the East Coast and how dominant they were. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as far as they're talking about coming to the East Coast, they were undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a little bit of a motivation for them. And the fact that they were the number two seed and that they have to go on the road. So, you know, when you're in a situation like this and you've been on top for so long and then you kind of slip a little bit, yeah, that could be a motivating factor. I believe that to be the case.
Well, the fact is that they are slight underdogs. I mean, here's the thing. The Patriots are, I believe, 9-0 at home this year, but they're 3-5 on the road. I mean, they've been very ordinary to underperforming on the road this season. They've been great at home and on the road. So that's something to keep in mind here. As to the other game, and remember, both of these are rematches from the regular season. Back in the middle of the year, the Rams started off 8-0, and then they met the Saints. The Saints beat them 45-35, and in that game, Michael Thomas went off. He had 12 catches for 211 yards. He burned Marcus Peters time and time and time again, and Marcus got all up in his feelings. And he went back home to L.A., and he started shooting his mouth off about getting a rematch and how he was going to get a rematch. And when he did, he was going to, you know, scorch Sean Payton. But then after he scorched Sean Payton, that was going to be all nice, and they were going to sit down and have a nice little bowl of gumbo between the two of them, right? So he lashes out and then says that I'll make it all good by having a bowl of gumbo with the coach after I burn them. So somebody asked him about this whole gumbo thing yesterday, and this is what Marcus Peters said.
It's not going to get no further. I am having fun. We're talking about it right now. We're laughing about it, man. I don't think that is something that we need to be pushing towards just over the top of the NFC championship. Let's push that. We got the number one team in the NFC versus the number two team in the NFC, and we're trying to send to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about gumbo.
He's trying to clean it up.
Yeah.
Marcus Peterson is a funny dude. Like for me, I would love to see him in the Super Bowl just to see how he's going to react. This weekend, it's going to be interesting in the sense that Sean Payton, he's living that thug life right now. Like, for real. Coach Payton right now is living thug life, and it started last year or maybe the year before that when he did a choke sign, and he's been out there, like, you know.
Busting fire alarms.
Oh, man, doing all kind of crazy stuff.
Yep.
So I would not be surprised if Coach Payton comes out and goes right at Peterson. Would not be surprised.
Does he bring $225,000 in cash to the
No, he doesn't have to, John. He's going to expose him. I'm telling you, I can see that. I can see him making sure that Drew Brees targets him on almost every play. I can see that. Because he's been suspected. Like, listen, he's been suspect as far as coverage goes. So, yeah, they're going to come after that cat.
Yeah, a lot going on with the Super Bowl and whatnot, and we are continuing our coverage of Super Bowl 53 as we are the host station for Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. This is why you want to stay here all the way through the first week of February. Heck, you don't. What am I talking about? You never want to leave, do you? Come on, ever. Just put it here and just lock it and forget about it. When we get back in a moment, though, there are other stories. There is big news ahead of Atlanta United's opener, and it involves Joseph Martinez. What we can tell you now, next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who wants a ring?
It's the greatest show on turf.
Championship mindset, let's go.
Be focused, get in there and open a can, all right?
Championship right here, boys. Go.
And this season, it's in our own backyard. Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta plays here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A little bit of a red sky morning in Atlanta on a chilly Thursday. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United's season starts in about a month, actually a little less than a month if I'm not mistaken. They're going to be in the CONCACAF Champions League, and we're going to turn around right after the Super Bowl and go, hey, United's playing today. Man, as they get into the this is going to be the Champions League is the best clubs from Canada, well, from North America,
mm-hmm.
Central America, and South America all playing against each other, and you just advance along, and they open against a team from Costa Rica. I'm going to get the name of the team wrong. I got to learn how to pronounce it. Aaron, how do you know how it is? Is Aaron Donio, Aaron Drino? Does anybody know how to pronounce this team's name yet? I got to learn to pronounce it. But anyway, they were the Costa Rican champions. Herediano. That's it. Thank you.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Herediano in Costa Rica, February 21st. And then that'll be in Costa Rica. And then, and by the way, I think that Mike Connie and Jason Longshore are going down to Costa Rica. Isn't that where Jurassic Park was, right? Was that right off the coast of Costa Rica?
It's not right off the coast. It's probably a 4-mile flight from the coast of Costa Rica, but it's considered Costa Rica.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they're going to go down there and get some drinks and hang out. and have a great time.
And then
but they were going to be working. He's a professional. Mike Conti's a professional. Jason is as well, so they're not going to be partaking in any of that nightlife.
Connie could go to the
Connie's a professional, man. He's not going to partake in any of that nightlife stuff.
A little bit. Maybe. I mean, you're not in Costa Rica. How do you not? Costa Rica, 21st
no,
of February.
No, how do I not?
Yeah, I know that.
But no.
Me too. Return game is Kennesaw State. They're going to play, by the way, on the 28th of February, the home and home. Because of conflicts at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they're going to play the first round of this CONCACAF when they get back home will be played at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in Kennesaw. And I know some United fans are not happy because when you play it, Fifth Third Bank, everybody wants to see the team, and Fifth Third Bank Stadium only has, even if they put in temporary bleachers, it won't have 10,000 seats. And so, but that's kind of where we're at the moment. And then, of course, their opener against for Major League Soccer is right after that. 4 or 5 days later, they're playing DC United in the opening game of Major League Soccer. So the season is underway.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about this is, John, this would be the first time ever, like right after football season is over, that we're going to have a lot more going on than we've had in the past. You know, when you're talking about the CONCACAF and the fact that the AAF is like right around the corner
right,
to start
the AAF,
soon.
Right, yeah.
Because I've been, like I said, I've been following that Twitter account or the Instagram account as well. And, you know, I'm watching them practicing everything. I'm kind of interested to see how this is going to play.
Me too.
It looks pretty interesting. It looks really, really interesting. And the fact that, you know, the Atlanta Legends are here and I've seen Michael Vick, you know, coaching up the offense and everything. I want to see how that's going to play. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting to see how this season, well, this first season of the AAF is, and the fact that we have the CONCACAF going on. So we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, that and Daytona.
Oh, yeah, Daytona. Yeah, because that's right after the Super Bowl.
February 17th.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we're going to have a lot going on. Now, February is the busiest month. You have pitchers and catchers reporting. You have NBA. You have NHL. You have college basketball. I mean, a lot going on. Golf starts with the first big golf tournaments. Of course, you got, you know, tennis majors with Australia already going underway. You know, the finals of the Australian Open in February.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. As a matter of fact, my man Randy McMichael is at the airport, and I guess he was listening to the show this morning.
What's
talking about the airport. He said, not bad. He said 45-minute wait through the airport. He took a picture, so shout out to my man Randy McMichael. Safe travels, wherever it is you're going.
Yep.
Randy, stay on the plane. Like, see, Randy is the type of guy. He gonna fly. Wherever he going, he flying.
Yeah.
He about that drive life.
No, that's – you're right.
He ain't about that truck driver life. He ain't about that.
So a couple of notes about Atlanta United ahead of their – as they now are in training camp. You may have heard, or if you didn't, I'll pass it along. The new coach, Frank DeBoer, started the very first practice by doing something totally different than Tata Martino, where the players said that Tata – would run practices that were more drill-oriented, and Frank DeBoer ended the very first practice with a 30-minute mini game, and the players kind of liked it. They went, oh, we're actually playing a game, because Tata was a drill guy in terms of different kind of drills that he'd run. And DeBoer said, why don't you guys go out there and play? Because he wants to see him too. Plus,
yeah, because he's learning. Yeah. Like I think that's probably genius because, number one, iron sharpens iron. And probably the younger guys or the younger club members against the starters, and just to see who he has. Because the time we had a chance to talk to him, John, he was talking about he's still trying to get to know these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to see people on film and try to assess them.
Right.
It's another thing to get to know them and see what makes them tick.
So Joseph Martinez has decided to stay. The Golden Boot winner, record-setting goal scorer, is going to be with Atlanta United. I'm guessing maybe the rest of his the prime
career.
Of his career. Right. A 5-year deal for Joseph Martinez, who, if he wasn't already blossomed into a big star in this town, you know, he continues this, and who knows what the eventuality is for Joseph. But he's going to stay. We don't know, Miggy. There's 2 more weeks in the transfer window for Newcastle United to make a run at Miguel Almiron. But Joseph Martinez is going to be here this year, next year, the year after that, the year after that, and the year after that. Joseph is now a lifer in a 5-stripe uniform. That's the good news. And by the way, we don't know yet the amount of money. That's going to be fascinating to find out how much money, and it will leak out at some point, this deal is worth for him. Did he? Because we have no idea. He made $1.4 million last year. Did he get $4 million a year? Did he get $5 million a year? How much did he get?
I would think with a 5-year contract, John, I would say, if you say he made $1.4
last year,
probably anywhere from 3 to 4.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
3 to 4.
Yeah, I'm thinking 5-20, but I'm just guessing. And the salary,
you got to think.
Could it be going up at MLS?
Well, you got to think. Or, I would say probably 2 to 3. That's a 5-year deal. So I'm thinking probably 2 to 3. Probably 3.2, double his salary.
Yeah, something at least, like that. Yeah, something like that. It'll be really interesting to see what happens. There is bad news for United. Franco Escobar out for 2 months, a broken right clavicle during their first training session, and Escobar gets a broken right clavicle. So hopefully that's not indicative of Frank DeBoer, because he's going to have – the new coach is going to have to, and we wish Franco Escobar a speedy return, and hopefully 2 months sounds like a long time, but really with the season not even starting for another month, I mean, he's not going to miss that much time in terms of if he's able to come back, say in 6 or 8 weeks, he'll be fine, and they're going to need him, because one of the things with all these games, the CONCACAF Champions League, provided they keep advancing, which I think they will, and the U.S. Open Cup – and MLS, I mean, they could play, and playoffs, Hugh, they could play 8, 32, 40, 45, I mean, well over north of 50 games this year.
Yeah, and I think that they're all geared, like, in their minds, you know, talking to Carlos Bocanegra and seeing his intensity level at this time of the season, of this time of the year, that's their plan. That's their plan. Their plan is to play as much soccer as they possibly can. They're really spearheading this movement to solidify and keep soccer in the forefront. You can really tell that. This is a big deal for them.
Oh, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, this CONCACAF Champions League is huge, because if you win it and you advance and play the Mexican champion, win that and advance, play the South American champion, if you win that, you might get a crack at one of those teams. I mean, those teams, a Real Madrid in a home and home, a Barcelona, a Manchester United, one of those teams. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody like that coming in to play Atlanta United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Oh. Would that be unbelievable? Oh, my God. Yeah, so I'm getting a little excited about the Five Stripes again. We haven't had a whole lot of time. We haven't had time to decompress. Forget about the team.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like we're getting right. The funny thing is, we're getting right back in it. It just ended, and we're about to jump right back in it. That's weird.
Hey, who needs to be that guy this Sunday? I mean, is it going to be Breeze and Brady, or is it going to be other guys? Who needs to be that guy? Next, at the top of the hour, on a Thursday with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home of Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.